I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Our favorite time of the week.
High school sweethearts turned married couple with two kids.
Join us for a conversation on life, parenting, marriage, and more.
Welcome to Close Enough.
Hello.
Hello.
That sound you hear is my beautiful wife, Abby.
Just use the microphone to scratch my nose. Sorry.
Hey, we... Chin. You get...
My hands are in my pocket.
You make do with what you have around you.
It's chilly down here.
Mm-hmm. If you didn't know, because we have to tell you, we didn't go to Maine and hit the...
That wasn't us, guys. Sorry.
The $1 billion sweepstakes. We did hit...
Sweepstakes?
I don't know.
Who says that?
Publisher's Clearinghouse.
Who knew that's 1983? The sweepstakes.
Well, I'm bringing it back. That's my goal. Would you like to enter our sweepstakes to win 17 coupons?
Oh, I love a good sweepstake.
I love a good sweepstake. Supermarket sweep?
Yes. I would have killed at that game. I just need you to know them. That'd been amazing.
So we weren't in the new upgraded studio that I had in mind that I'd really already designed and put together with my lottery winnings, but...
You were designing a studio?
You damn right. Joe Rogan's piddly $100 million contract with Spotify didn't have shit on me.
So whatever day it was really big. Tuesday, maybe?
What was really big?
The lottery.
Yeah, they drew Tuesday and Friday.
Yeah. So I asked, that's my daily check-in, was like what people, my students would buy. And their answer is like, my question was, what's the first thing you would buy? And some kids were like, I would take care of my mom, I'd get my mom a car, blah, blah, blah. And then like one of my students was like, red slushy from Circle K. I was like, thank you for keeping it honest. First thing they would buy.
A red slushy? Listen.
I mean,
Twitter makes you happy.
Harlan Thomas.
And then a slushy machine to put into my new house. To be fair.
Icy brand, though.
Open and transparent. Paradise.
What?
The Paradise.
No.
Yeah. Well, we could afford two separate machines. But anyway, Abby and I were looking at houses.
We're like, okay, if we win and you had to buy something that's on the market right now, what house would it be?
Yeah.
We definitely have different visions for this.
But we'd have enough money to strong arm basically anybody out of their house.
We need you to get out in the next 30 days.
You will need to not just leave the furniture. We'll take care of that. We'll pay for that too.
I didn't like any of the houses on the market though.
I know. Really. That's where it's a weird time. You remember when all the houses were for sale and they only stayed on the market for 45 seconds to a minute? And now it's the same houses that have been there for a long time. But the state of the economy and all.
The economy.
Inflation.
All I know is eggs are expensive because memes tell me that eggs are expensive. But then I get on Kroger, I'm like, well, eggs aren't that fucking expensive.
Exactly. Now, they are more expensive at Walmart than they are at Kroger.
Yeah, but like, we're not talking like, I mean, granted, I love a good meme. So like when people are like.
And to be fair, we waste more eggs than we use.
Right. I'm the only one that eats eggs in the house now.
No, that's a travesty in itself.
It is. Allegedly, you can freeze eggs by cracking them open into an ice cube tray and freezing them that way.
Like the yolks and everything?
Yeah. I don't know. My friend shared it.
Who's
on Facebook.
To say?
It's worth a shot just to see. I don't know.
We really don't use many eggs here.
But if
we used to. I used to eat.
Oh, yeah. Like, listen, Saturdays and Sundays, we would kill
a good scramble.
A good scramble.
Yeah, I would make
and I can eat five or six
just
for my...
I can, too. I used to be able to. Now, they... Story time. I'm like week... What was it? Week three post-op from my my vertical sleeve gastrectomy. And I had a list of foods that I could start incorporating. The first 2 weeks were basically just liquid. And one of them was an egg. And I made two eggs, scrambled.
Which is like...
Nothing.
Right. Two eggs
an scrambled. An appetizer.
Yeah. An appetizer.
And so I took about three bites and hurled. The only two things that have really, like, don't sit well, don't taste well, coffee and eggs. So...
Do you think you're willing to go back and try an egg?
Nope.
Like down the road?
Nope.
I think you need to give it another try.
I'll give it another try in a year.
Okay.
Next September I'll try. This September.
So I'm going to freeze some eggs and they should be fine until next September. Maybe you should just get a chicken.
I mean, you freeze human eggs.
Yeah.
Same thing, right? They're viable.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm no geneticist or anything. They make dinosaur eggs in Jurassic Park.
They're frozen.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I don't know. I might try it.
Abby brought up a good point that we, as a couple, basically strictly get our news from memes. The Meme News Network.
Or TikTok. Like, if something is happening and I'm like, well, what the hell? I got to, like... figure it out.
I follow an account that's news of the day.
Same, yes. But it doesn't always hit the algorithm, right? So...
I mean, to be honest, I'm not looking for it. And I encourage everybody not to watch the news. I mean, it's never good for your spirit.
Right. But, like, understanding... I do try to listen to, so I've... I do, but I don't listen often.
To the NPR quick hitter in the morning?
Right. Just... Our house is not conducive to me getting to do what I want in the mornings.
Same.
Gary wants to sleep until it's the exact second that he has to wake up and maybe 5 minutes beyond that.
If you don't tell your significant other five more minutes at least twice, are you really even meant to be together?
So I'm not that quiet, but I try to be quieter in the mornings, but I still have to get ready and I can't turn on lights. So I can't listen to my podcast.
She doesn't know how to turn the news on the TV.
I really don't. Couldn't tell you, but I can't listen to it because it's got to be quiet time and pumpkin patch.
I'm not gonna.
And
I'm not gonna. Like, I'd probably need to get up. So,
all right. Well, I'm gonna start my podcast.
Okay.
Between that and like pantsuit politics, I get some news. But
I'm just not, as a 42-year-old male, not interested in politics or the news.
What do you mean?
If there was an asteroid coming, I don't want to know.
I like weird news. I love knowing weird news. So part of like what I teach in one of my classes, students have to be able to, within the realm of an argument, quickly come up with kind of like extemporaneously come up with correlations to like this argument. So you would get a prompt, they'll give you a quote like to what extent is, and they'll give you this quote and you have to argue it, right? And you have to, you're not provided any evidence, but you have to use very specific examples from like history or current events to do it. And my kids were like, I don't know any current events. I'm like, yeah. Okay, we gotta practice this. So I got on some like little current events trivia thing just of like reviewing 2022, and it is wild how fast my brain forgets things.
Yeah,
completely. Like, I was going through January just
of 2022.
Yeah, and I was like, well, hell, I forgot about that.
That happen?
Yeah, the Chris Rock slap, I totally forgot that happened. Yeah. Like, that felt like all anybody could
feel like it was just a meme.
Yeah, that's again, I'm like, well,
it was made for me.
Those memes, so I've got to do a better job for my students and myself to incorporate news. There's a text you can get called the donut, and they'll text you weekly.
Nope, false advertising.
Two minutes. It's a 2-minute read, and it's not really like uber politically charged stuff. It's just like, hey, this is happening in science right now, or this is, you know, and they'll throw out like a fun fact, but you can read everything in two minutes or less to keep you updated. I still do not read it, even though it's 2 minutes of my time. It's like every other text message in my phone. It gets...
I looked at Abby's phone the other day. She had over 100 text messages that she never opened.
A lot of them are advertisements.
And we don't even want to talk about the voicemails and calls that she'd go unanswered. But there was a meme that came out this weekend. And I'm on all the meme pages. Like, that's my Facebook. I don't post political things. I don't post really about my family. I'm a voyeur. But I'm on like 22 meme pages. And this one meme about a police officer in Tennessee, I'm not going to tell you what it is. You're going to have to go look it up. But it's everywhere. And I can't laugh at the meme because I don't know the story. So I had to Google the story. And then I could laugh at it. It went around in our group chat last night.
Oh, I don't pay attention to it most of the time.
Well, see, that's the story of my life.
There's so many memes that you guys send so quickly, and then, like, nobody responds, and the only other response is a meme. Like, and then somebody in the group's an Android user, so I don't even know who's laughing at what image, and it's just too messy. Like, I want, if we're going to post a meme, let's have conversation with that meme before another completely unrelated meme.
You got to go.
It's just rapid-fire memeing the entire time.
It's mostly me and my cousin.
Yes, you all need your own side conversation, but I think you weirdos like to share your weird sensibilities and just have everybody else look on and
I off. Used to really enjoy waking up. When I would wake up early and go to the gym, sometimes I'd be the first person there, like 4:30. So I would set all the TVs in my little area to channel 27, 18, 36. So I'd have all the new, and it's all the same thing, but I would get my morning news as I was working out.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like they were watching me work out.
That is so damn weird.
I mean, it was just me and them for some portions, but you think about when you look at older movies or even at your house, I can remember the newspaper was always there.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a newspaper, people sat down, or they woke up, watched the morning news. Because back in the day, it wasn't a 24-hour news cycle.
Nope.
It was three times a day. I really think SportsCenter changed the game. Because SportsCenter would stay on all day.
But it'd be the same thing playing all day, right?
That's just what the news is.
I guess so. But like, they would legitimately play the same show, right? Am I wrong about that?
I don't know.
I just feel like, I don't know.
But, yeah, and that doesn't... I don't know when the last time I've seen, like, at work or anything, or been out. Maybe the old men at Hardee's.
Hmm?
Or McDonald's, you know, old like the group, gotcha. You know, that sit and drink coffee. They've got their newspapers, and they talk about the...
I don't think they're talking current events. I think they're talking about whatever, like...
local gossip.
The kids down at the high school smoking the dope.
Smoking the dope.
I don't know.
I feel like the older generation now were the OG dope smokers in their day.
Oh, yeah, I guess so. But I think they'd still get...
I mean, most of that age group had a smoking section.
Yeah.
At school.
It's true.
I'll bring that back.
Smoking section?
For the vapors. In my theme park news, one of the big things is Universal Studios, each, like Universal Studios, Florida, and then Islands of Adventure, the two separate theme parks under the Universal Resorts. Each place only has one smoking area now, one designated smoking area in the whole park.
Is nicotine allowed?
Well, they say that's the issue that needs to be addressed is the people vaping, blowing the big clouds elsewhere. That it should be treated the same as smoking cigarettes.
100%. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know if we actually know the secondhand repercussions of...
I'm pretty sure we do. Oh, a vape?
Of vaping.
It smells good.
Yeah. So I don't know. That's.
But you don't. I don't want to be walking all nonchalant, yeah. And then you get a.
I don't like it.
You know.
That was a question that they asked. My nurse asked me, the one that called, and I was doing that sort of like health why would thing.
Do you vape?
No. Your exposure to secondhand smoke or vaping, and I was like, I don't think so. I don't think I have a lot. But when it comes to vaping, like, you don't always know. Like, what does that even know? I mean, I don't have, like, consistent, constant exposure to it, but.
So we don't stay up on the news. We don't know anything about entertainment culture because our TV is dominated by YouTube and Disney Plus and things. Like, you watched Wednesday, which was wildly popular. It was right.
Yeah.
But.
I don't know.
Also, I fall back into the same, like, I have my comfort.
Yeah, but when it comes to the shows you like, you and Charlie are very aware of, like, actors and actresses, their names, movies, producers,
every show directors. Has credits that say their names, and all, every one of them.
Could not be bothered to learn those names. Even if they're people I really like, I don't know much about them.
We got a random Friday date night, and so we looked at all the movies in the theater, and we're like, we don't know any of these.
Somebody said Plane was okay. They went and watched Plane. It was good.
It's a good action movie. Gerard Butler. It had Luke Cage in it.
See, listen, you're saying names. Yeah. Couldn't
the guy from 300. This is Sparta.
I know that from a meme.
Yeah.
That's I've never seen 300.
That's him.
Fun fact.
300's a decent movie. It's not.
I don't think it's like that style.
Yeah, it's a little dark. But so if I had a day and it was like, you have to watch TV all day.
Mm-hmm.
Probably nothing new other than maybe a documentary. But those aren't in pop culture, you know. Although, shout out Jesse McHugh, he turned us at Christmas. Turned us on to the Casey Anthony documentary.
Yeah.
And that was weird.
A lot of emotions watching that. I think it says a lot for, you know, the ability when you hear somebody's story up close, the human brain tends to be like, well, when it's coming from their mouth and you're hearing right. their side of it and you're hearing the shit they've been through, it's really hard. It does make it harder to, I'm going to say this and people, I don't even know how to say this correctly.
Like you humanize them.
Yes. She'd never been humanized before. And I don't say that like, I don't, you know.
Same. I make jokes about her all the time.
So, but at the same time, like, so I think that is an interesting component to something like a documentary or a film or that thing. You know, the point is.
I always wonder their motives.
But at the same time,
is it to make some money? Is it to really get your story out?
Lost, you know, she has no, basically her family is the defense team.
Spoiler alert.
But anyway.
It was an interesting watch.
So it gave me like these weird emotions of like, I don't want to feel sorry for her. Empathize with her, but the importance of like having empathy for people. But I think you can still have empathy for people and be like, you're trash. So like, is that possible? Can you do that? Is that
sure.
I don't know.
But I did not
like the way it made me feel. I'll just say that.
I felt no kind of way other than I was like, huh.
And I know that like people talk about different shows and stuff
Casey Anthony in particular dominated the headlines for so long.
And I was not one of those people that followed it super closely. When was that? What year were we talking about?
2005, 2004, 2005.
Is it that far?
Yeah. See, I get Casey Anthony and Lacey Peterson mixed up, too.
Well, shit.
She was one that was pregnant, and her husband, they arrested her husband.
Was that all at the same time?
roundabout same decade. I don't know.
See, we're so horrible.
I mean,
I admire people who like can get into these
and name dates, times.
Yes. Yeah, I don't have much of that. I mean, I could maybe do it with the Adnan Syed case, but I've listened to it six times a year for the past 6 years. And I still get shit wrong. So
that's okay.
I don't like the people who like follow trials, television trials, really closely. Like,
but I feel we, not for the fear of missing out or anything, but we could probably cancel our Netflix. Probably HBO, even though HBO is free through AT&T.
Is that how we get it?
Yeah, that's how we got it.
HBO, there's a show out right now. I just heard about it on a podcast that's, I think, pretty big because it just won some awards. The chick from American Pie and the chick from
Jennifer Coolidge.
Yeah, I cannot remember her name.
And again, and all I know her is that Colin Farrell walked her down the...
And I love her. Stifler's mom. She's done. And she was in the one show we watched, or did I just watch that by myself? The house show. The scary house movie. It wasn't scary-ish. Watcher.
She was in that?
Yes. Like a minor-ish, a supporting role. Yeah. But anyway, I love her.
The original MILF.
Yeah, I love her. I love everything she stands for. She has hilarious stories. White Lotus is an HBO show.
And have you heard of The Sopranos?
Yeah, I've never watched it.
It's their 24-year anniversary. It came out in January 1999. God, if I go back. January 99.
That's how long it's been out.
Mm-hmm. That's when it came out, January 1999.
Yeah, I think so, because I was in college. But hell, we didn't have HBO.
We were not in college. We were in high school.
I know, but it was still continuing on.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was like, we didn't have FNHBO to
And when you want to be a part of that, like I started to watch Game of Thrones after the fact, after it's already over. Hell, I'm already a season behind in the new Game of Thrones show. But I'm... When there's so much ahead, you know what I mean? When there's 8 seasons, you're like, fuck it.
But you jumped into Game of Thrones, and I just, it felt way too overwhelming for me. Like, I couldn't dig out to get into that.
I just, a lot of memes, like one of the original memes, like OG memes, mm-hmm. comes from Game of Thrones. Mm-hmm. And then I was just getting clips fed to me on Facebook and things, and so I was picking up bits and pieces of the story, and I was like, this might be cool.
So what season are you in?
3.
Of?
8.
Yeah, that's not too bad. I can't remember.
But the last season is only like 8 episodes, but they're all like feature-length movies.
Yeah. I think the only show that I did that with...
And I know what happened, so...
was The Walking Dead.
I want to finish it, too, because it's over.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, hell.
And there's going to be a new movie with Negan and Baby Herschel gets abducted.
What the hell? There was a TikTok that was like new married couples, and they're like, we're simultaneously watching like 3 shows at once. Mm-mm. And then the married couple was like, I think the last thing we watched together, Lost. I was like, checks out.
Yeah, and so kudos to you. You people can stay up on all the new fun trends.
And we just can't, like, 7:30 hits. That's the time the TV can turn on.
I'm like,
adult show.
I feel like we're like mushrooms. People feed us shit and leave us in the dark.
What?
That's a quote from The Departed. Mark Wahlberg.
That doesn't make any sense.
He said, treat the feds like mushrooms. Feed them shit, leave them in the dark.
Well, that's an outlook and perspective.
That's a movie I could watch over and over and over again.
Yeah, I know. It's your favorite.
It's my favorite movie of all time. It's a funny story how I even watched it the first time. Me and Abby were going to the movies, and we were going to see Jackass 3. And it just so happens the times didn't line up, but The Departed was on. And I was like, let's watch The Departed. It'd be fun. And it was amazing.
Oh, yep.
Now, Abby is not a rewatcher of movies, but
it's harder for me to rewatch things.
I watch it all the time.
I attention span again. I can go into something, well, that's not really rewatching. I can kind of mindlessly watch things like The Office. The other night I turned on Law and Order and you're like, why? And I was like, yeah. I needed something to play.
Me of the old school TNT, whatever marathons where it would be on all day and you just hit, you would literally spend the whole day.
Hold up. I didn't have no kids. It's a Saturday. Gary's probably working. I don't have anywhere to go. I'm probably bored or some shit. My house is clean. And I would just.
We used to get bored.
I used to hole up on the couch and watch America's Next Top Model, whatever those are called, marathons and Law and Order marathons. Like my whole entire life depended on it. I love me some America's Next Top Model. Don't have anything to relate to on it, but I loved. That was probably like one of my initial
binges.
Jumps into like that was like the only reality TV I would really like tolerate, other than The Real World. I love The Real World, but only like the beginning seasons. I never got into Road Rules, which I'm kind of bummed because that's where Christina P.
But that was so long ago. Yeah, her and Theo, but they were on the same season, right?
Theo's from Road Rules?
Yes.
Shut the hell up.
Mm-hmm.
I love Theo. I just love the way he talks. He says stupid shit.
He says the dumbest things.
But yeah, those were good. That's my memories, living in Bath County, living in the trailer, laying on the couch watching those shows, probably eating those damn Doritos that made you poop your pants. And had Olean in them, remember?
That was the devil. Yeah. Everything's the devil, though.
And Diet Dr. Pepper.
Saccharin.
And just
Diet Pop. But what I love is the people like Dr. Arnolsky, who, by the way, goes by the meme doc.
Love him.
But he's an obesity specialist, and he has some of the funniest shit, but he's so intelligent.
But he's very, friendly to the fact of you are human and you are probably struggling with weight and he would probably say, yeah, go if you can eat those baked Doritos and they make you feel better and you're not going to eat the real shit, do it. Because he's a supporter of the he doesn't get really his panties in a wad over Diet Pop. I really like him. He became my hero last week. Actually, was it 2 weeks ago or it was not long after I actually took my first Mounjaro shot that Jillian Michaels, who I have a complicated relationship with,
we have one of her DVDs.
Yeah. She was a coach on
Biggest Loser.
Biggest Loser. And
her and Bob.
Yes. She had this 21-day shred. And I don't know, my little middle school department got all on the 21-day shred thing because it was a 20-minute workout. It was the first time actually that I learned that you could get a pretty efficient workout in 20 minutes. It was the first time that idea had ever been introduced to me, prior thinking that you needed to be in the gym for 2 hours. But it was hard. It was a really hard workout, but you do it for 21 days and it, shred.
Lose 100 pounds in 20 days.
Right. Well, this, doing those workouts never, ever finished the 21 days, by the way. I can't tell you how many times I started that shit. Cause the mindset is, if I can do this for 21 days, then I can, whatever. So, comes out, not that long ago, that whole Biggest Loser concept is just abuse. It's not healthy. Most of those people have gained their weight back and just all the general vibe of Biggest Loser turns out to be scandal.
It was just really tight. It was toxic. For show.
Yes. And not healthy the way they were doing. They were super restrictive diets with so many workouts. Of course those people were going to lose that much weight, but it was all for TV. But anyway.
It's like Matt Hoover he won one of the seasons. Met his wife on the show and lost a shit ton of weight. Looked amazing. Gained it all back. He was one of the people that I followed through my weight loss surgery journey who had done weight loss surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, listen, I wrote a cookbook. He's like, I did meal plans. I know how to lose weight. You know?
Yeah.
And
I feel that.
He was, but he also, he was like the cautionary tale to me because he lost 100 pounds in 5 months. And that's about where I'm at.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'm like, I will hit the 100-pound mark this month.
It's awesome.
And he was that way. And then he just kept losing.
So why is he a cautionary tale?
But because he got down to like, he'd lost 192 pounds. And we were about the same size. So that I was like gauging mm-hmm. that. And him and his wife have a podcast. And I was like, wow, I don't know that I want to lose them. Because I'm still struggling right now with wanting to, I had this conversation today with my boy Jim at the gym. Abby makes fun of me because I'm so social. And it's never intentional. Like with Jim, it is. We've become friends over the years at the gym. But I talk to everybody or I'll wave at people. Like, I don't know.
It's intentional.
I hardly know anybody.
That's intentional.
It's not. You know, when they come to me to talk.
You said it's hardly intentional. But I watch you go like, hey, how's it going?
I mean, it's at people that I've already met.
I'm not for you.
Wow.
Bitch face. Don't talk to anybody. Get in there. Get out.
Yeah.
But anyway, okay, so long story short, never is. Old girl comes out, Jillian Michaels comes out, and she is like shaming people because right now people are starting to learn about the semaglutides and
GLP-1 blockers.
Yes. And so she, seeing her cash cow slipping from her hands because her whole business model is made up of just like telling people that if they, you know, grin and bear it and exercise enough with her, they lose weight, right? Comes out like dissing the weight loss medicine, including Mounjaro and Wegovy, and saying that like people just need, it's dangerous and people just need sensible weight loss. And it's like, this sensible weight loss plan, this is a part of a sensible weight loss plan. You still have to do sensible weight loss thing. It is just operating a more like hormonally balanced, insulin balanced way in your body that didn't work with the Biggest Loser. That shit does not work. Yeah. And so I sent it to Gary and I was like, look, this twat like cannot, like she is so transparent here. That this is not
she
because
feels threatened in
she
her
feels
business.
Threatened. This is not because she actually cares about the health of people she,
or knows the science or anything.
Exactly, exactly. Like she's a trainer. I value that for her. But you know, you've got a doctor.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bowl and Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bowl and Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
So, Dr. Arn, I can't say his name. Say it.
Arnolsky.
Arnolsky. Arnolsky. Can't get that part out of my mouth. So, it was not days later. I was so pumped that he was completely clapping back at her, like, what she's
very,
doing.
But very, like.
Professionally.
Academic.
Yeah. Professionally. Like, kind of took apart and rebutted her article, because it was a pretty big news source that she went into and had this conversation. I can't remember which one. But took apart her argument and just sort of saying, maybe it was Huffington Post. Not big, but very accessible. You know what I'm saying? Like, people will see it, and that's the danger of that. And, but I was glad to hear, like, I like people like him that are out there trying to.
He's got a podcast called Dogs That Live.
I've not listened. I think
it's above my, it's above my brain function because he's so smart.
Well, I started listening to Huberman.
Mm-hmm. He's smart too.
And I think I got on
but
Huberman.
He's an ophthalmologist. Like,
I don't even know what that means.
He's an eye doctor.
That's not true.
That is true.
I think he's just like a scientist, right?
Nope, he's an eye doctor. If you listen to his intro, he is a board certified ophthalmologist.
I thought he was a professor at Stanford.
I think that's where he has a PhD.
I don't know. I thought he was just a professor at Stanford and like he has a lab and studies things. But I've started listening to him and he is so smart and sometimes I can't make
and he's
it.
He's kind of dry.
But I enjoy that. Like, like, I don't know. It's a good listen. Like, I was listening today. He did a Ask Me Anything, AMA.
Mm-hmm.
And I can only get, like, because I'm not on the premium thing, I only get, like, 30 minutes of it. So it was about adaptogens. Someone had asked about that. And, like, a lot of good advice about what I like about him is he will cite studies. And then he'll also kind of follow up with either personal experience or the study that he knows about that's really well known. And you just, because of his reputation, you can trust it. So like he was talking about
Ashwagandha.
Yes. Which I've heard a lot of people talk about, like just on TikTok, like, hey, take this if you, you know, whatever. But he talked about it in a way that, because it's been recommended, like I've seen it through like ADHD supplement, cortisol stress supplement, and he was talking about that. Not only that, but he was like, and this is when you should take it, but if you exercise, do it here. And like, it's very detailed. Mm-hmm. A very detailed podcast. But he is a little,
yeah,
dry. His thing that he's really obsessed with but big on is light therapy.
Mm-hmm. I get that.
It just hearing it, he doesn't have to cite a study. If you just hear it, you're like, well, shit, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So you wake up, the idea is...
I mean, the Liver King does this as well. He talks about...
I don't know him. I mean, I know him, but I don't pay attention to him.
Yeah, but he talks about getting sun every day.
So, yeah, so and this isn't just about, which I think we all kind of got on the whole, like, exposure to vitamin D, like, vitamin D in
the whole world's vitamin D deficient.
Yes. Gary and I have talked about that, like...
I'm vitamin D deficient.
Yes. But that kind of became a little bit of a talking point during COVID, the first days of COVID, first year of COVID, when people were talking about seemingly there may have been a correlation with vitamin D deficiency and people having harder times with COVID early on, I think. There was nothing ever to like officially prove that. So, you know, you hear that you should get so many minutes a day, like 10 minutes of just sunlight exposure. But Huberman says that he's a lot about like the foundation of your health is sleep, of performance, mm-hmm. of your mental health and your nutrition.
I mean, everybody's grumpy when they don't get enough sleep.
Well, sleep is just such a foundational thing. And one of the ways that you do that just naturally without using things like melatonin and stuff is your like circadian rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
And peaking your cortisol needs to be peaked early in the morning.
See, I don't even know what that means.
Well, so one of the things you can do is just the very natural thing is go stare at the sun. I mean, blink when you need to for like 5 minutes.
With a magnifying glass.
Right. Stare directly at it. For like 5 minutes, as soon as the sun rises, you should be out there, like as the sun is rising, that kind of softer light, mm-hmm. you should be out there with it because it's morning. It's the first thing you should wake up and do. You go look at the sun. If it's an overcast day, you do it a little bit longer. If it's cloudy, even longer without sunglasses. So that helps kind of like trigger and put you into a natural cycle. And then by the end of the day, you're
sleepy.
You're doing more low light, chill things and you're getting a deeper, better sleep. But so I saw him post something about that, and a woman in the comments was like, you know, I'm a school teacher, and God, whatever school they started, I think it was like New York or something, they were starting school at 7:30.
Yeah.
And we, you know, we started 8:30, thank God, but I'm getting ready at 8:30. Like, I have to be in the classroom. I can't be out like chasing the sun in the middle of the winter when it doesn't even, you know, it's not rising that early. And
yeah, the American work schedule is not conducive to good health.
Right. So made me think like all of these things about the way that we just work and our work schedules, you know, we are not conducive to a lifestyle that is just naturally healthy, not in like the hippie crunchy way, but just there are so many things that we could do naturally that would probably improve our health if we just shifted our schedule. We could get more sleep.
Mm-hmm.
We could get to see sunlight at a certain time. But no, it's the American work schedule is like hustle. If you are the most stressed and most under and most sleep deprived, you're winning, you know?
The grind. Everybody talks about the grind. Like,
and that, and there's this point
I'll work
of pride.
When I'm dead, or I'll sleep when I'm dead, right. And all that. Well, bitch, that's coming quicker than you think.
I mean, if it goes back to like this concept of like the self-made man who has to work hard to get, like, you can achieve your dreams if you just work hard. Well, that never kind of balanced out to what does work hard look like? Work harder than everybody else, yeah, to a point. So I feel like we just have, I mean, the way that we approach health, we are naturally, like, our work weeks are longer. We work more hours. We don't take as many vacations. So, like, mental health, sleep, light therapy, all of these things that we could do. And I think it's, you know, even worse for people in, like, a working class.
Yeah.
You
don't have that flexibility or that those options to...
Like, I can't come in the office today. I'm going to come in the office after I get my light therapy.
Yeah.
You know, like, and then those people can't take off work as frequently for like mental health appointments and stuff. So I don't know. It's been heavy in my brain of just thinking about
it. For all that though, there are so many fucking health experts that know nothing about health. And there's so many people that legitimately don't know anything about health. And I'm not saying I know much of anything. But I know one of the biggest, like, if you haven't seen me since September and you see me, you're like, holy shit, you lost a lot of weight.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you about my surgery. And they're like, oh, I know somebody that did that and they gained all their weight back. Man, get the fuck out of here.
Right.
All right. I don't want to hear that.
Are you just in generally in this place where you don't even want to talk about it?
Yeah.
Like, you don't want to, like, you don't even want to tell people.
Like, I've had some very supportive people.
Absolutely.
After I told them, like, one of my favorite quarterbacks ever. It wasn't even that he was a good quarterback, but Sean Salisbury played for the Vikings. Then he was on Mike.
Love his steaks.
Yeah. So through work, I met his brother,
mm-hmm,
Curtis, who is an amazing man. Like, I have been blessed to, like, some older men in this circle that I've kind of thrust myself into.
Thrust.
Like, I, on a whim, booked a trip to Texas. Abby was like, wait, what? Just because, like, that's my tribe. Like, that's, when you work a job, like, you're passionate about your job. Mm-hmm. There's people in doing the same thing that maybe don't like it as much. Maybe it's just a job. It's not a career. It's just a job for them at that point in time. But when I go to these outings, everybody's like invested in why we're there.
Yes. It's very nice to be with people that match your passion.
Yeah. Always. And they all like to drink bourbon. And it makes for a great, again, great networking after hours.
Networking.
Yeah.
Got it.
But so Curtis Salisbury, he's a bigger guy. And I told him about it. He's like, man, I think that's great. And like, we talked for 30 minutes about, you know, why I did it, what happens afterwards. And at the same table, there's a dude like, yeah, well, my sister did that, and she gained all her weight back then. So, well, you know, I'm not your sister, you know. And like, if it's anything that's not your typical, I ate less, went to the gym, sure.
people don't know how to comprehend it. Like that is the basic comprehension, or like what you got a tapeworm. Like nothing else makes sense.
I think I got it from Creed.
Interestingly, I just had a conversation with a friend last night and has lost weight using Monjaro, and it's not even as known as the as people getting like gastric bypass sleeve and stuff. So she mentioned just the difficulties of broaching that with family, of like, so your stomach's smaller, so you just don't eat ever. So, and it's super complicated. Like
For me, the best is when I'm sitting down and eat that. Can you eat that?
Yeah.
Can you eat that?
Yeah. It's so weird that people kind of, and I don't know. I don't know if it's curiosity.
I think it's a defense mechanism too. Like, I think it's, I would never do that. Or
right. Weird. Like with a medical professional, had very big opinions about not doing weight loss surgery. And I don't, seeing your experience has told me that I'm not built for that life.
I'm not built for this life. I thought I was going to barf up my cheesecake at night.
Fun fact, I don't puke. I don't want to puke. I never want to puke. The people that I live with just puke and rally like it's nothing. Got a headache? Go puke. Cold? Puke. Is it too windy outside? I'm going to go puke.
That's
it out.
Not true.
It's, I just feel like they puke all the time around here. I can't stand it. I need to be dying. And I'm going to need a solid 48 to 36 hours to recover from a puking episode. So watching that alone has just told me like, I can't do it.
Yeah.
I can't do it.
It's all.
And just seeing
trial and error
your general struggles with, the concept of like, it's this easy way out. I promise you all, living with this man, it's not been easy.
It's not easy.
He gets these little things that he can't eat. And I'm just like, oh, all right. It's going to be popcorn and Hershey Kisses for the evening.
So, but that's the thing. If you're somebody and you know maybe a loved one or a friend that's doing something medically off the grid,
right,
just support them.
That's it.
If it don't work, it doesn't work. Like, if I gained all my weight back, fuck it, I tried. Mm-hmm. Right now I'm on zero medication, so it's extended my life this far.
That's awesome.
You know,
I feel like that also about like in this part of the world, of the country, I feel like that is true. People supporting their loved ones, like if they're going to a therapist, like there's still such a stigma with that.
Yeah. I go to therapy.
Right. It's still shocking to me when I meet people who are like, who ask me like questions about therapy. Like, I guess I talk about it enough that people know I'm a big proponent of it, and that makes me happy. And that's one thing that I'm glad that I can like pull back that stigma and curtain from.
Everybody needs somebody that doesn't know them to listen to their bullshit. Right. Tell them how to fix it.
Right. That just reminds me, somebody texted me a question about that, and I need to follow up on that. But it's still shocking to me that in 2023, the year of our Lord, there are people that are like, do I really want to go to a therapist? I'm like, why the hell not? Go do it. Go do that. But I feel the same way about, I don't know, there's so much access to knowledge and everything. I guess people... Maybe it's like the same way I don't care to know movie celebrities, or like their brains just choose not to process that information or know that information. But it's wild to me that you can have so much access to knowledge that like, oh yeah, therapy's good. All these people do therapy. Here are some ways that people are healthy, but we still act like, there's still people out there who have no clue.
Yeah. I don't know. It's, if you listen to the last episode, we didn't make any resolutions. So it's not, but we're still goal oriented a bit. Like, we both went to the gym today.
I love going to the gym. I want more time to go to the gym. I'm happy when I leave. I like being there. I really like lifting weights. Mm-hmm. I want someone to help me do better at lifting heavy. I don't want to be like a power lifter.
No.
But I want
There's something about how you feel after you lift heavy weights.
I love it. I love it. I like deadlifting. Cannot do it to save my freaking life. But I like it.
I don't like that feeling.
Why not?
I don't know. It's a weird form. I don't know.
I've been studying it. I think I need knee wraps and I think I need a belt.
Yeah.
I've decided. I want some weightlifting gear for my super low lifting weights. But at any given point, I'm one sneeze away from throwing out my back. So if the
That's true.
Belts-
Abby texted me, I think it was last weekend. She's like, well, doing deadlifts and
I can't move. And I didn't get hurt doing the deadlift. It wasn't the deadlift. I was putting the weight back on the tree, the weight holder thingy, and I just twisted a weird way. And I was like, well, shit.
Just a little twist.
Just a little twist.
That's all you need.
People just need to pick their damn weights up. It pisses me off.
Yeah.
And put your shit back where
you
get it.
If we'd have won the lottery, we'd have had our own gym.
Oh, yeah. I would have loved that.
Yeah.
I don't think you would have. I think you would still continue to go to the gym.
I had this very conversation today. Gym's almost like church for me. You know, like...
Going, could you not get that same experience in your own home gym?
If I invited people over to lift with me.
You want it for the community.
Yeah.
I don't.
Like, we don't even have to talk, but seeing the same people in there, like, knowing we're all doing the same thing.
Yeah, we do have, like, a little, like, who was there?
Yeah. You know,
red shirt person, this person, like, I wonder what people call us, because you know, like,
I don't know
if we're calling people like their whatever nicknames we've created.
I've got to where the people that it, you know, the first membership I had at this gym was in 2001.
Mm-hmm.
So you're thinking 21 years I've been going to this gym, and so when I see people that have been going there a long time,
mm-hmm.
I always try to talk, or, you know, like, hey man, I've seen you coming here for a long time. Seen you lose a lot of weight, whatever. Congratulations. Like, just be a good gym goer. Like Joey Swole. I don't know if you've come across Joey Swole on TikTok, but he's like that good faith guy in the gym who promotes being friendly and accepting everybody and
is
whatever.
Is he the older guy, Joey? The older guy?
No.
Oh, I like the older guy, Joey, who's going to teach me how to lift weights without getting hurt. Instead of doing burpees, he does Joey's.
No. It's Joey Swole.
Oh.
But, and so we talked about the days, like our gym used to be a animal rescue.
Oh my God.
You forgot about that, didn't you?
I didn't forget about it. I still think.
You still smell dog shit in there every once in a while?
Not dog shit. It was cats. It was the freaking cats. Maybe pick up like a dog hair or something on your clothes every now and then. I forgot about that. Yeah.
And so, like that, there's very much a nostalgia.
Mm-hmm.
But I have put in thousands of hours in that gym.
There's a certain smell of body wash that reminds me of being like 23 years old. And I showered there every morning because mm-hmm. I drove over from Bath County.
The bathrooms are
right.
Always clean.
Yeah. I would take my shower and I'd get ready for work there. I mean, I did that consistently forever. Pre-kids, of course, that would not work. I've almost wondered now if that's what I need to do, is get ready at the gym in the mornings. That way I could be a little bit louder and not disrupt the family. But we're trying to figure out a schedule that works without, when we've got a kiddo that wakes up randomly at 5 a.m., 5:30, 6 a.m., you never know. Like, he senses on days that I'm like, I'm going to get up early and get to work today, or I'm going to get up early, I'm going to get to the gym. He's like, you know what? Have you ever seen, that's a meme, a Jason Bateman meme. I knew Jason Bateman.
I would hope so.
It's like, you're going to do something and the reply is, the fuck you are.
Yeah.
That is Harlan every time I want to do something in the morning. He's like, you know what? Not today, Mom.
Not today. But he senses your, like, a weird thing today. A weird thing with autism.
So many weird things with autism.
Is generally we have the happiest boy ever, but there are times when he throws down like the biggest of fits. And so the other night, and I get where it's come from. It was over Doritos and Ruffles. And Abby wanted it. I blame her. She wanted chips.
No. I just said, I need something salty right now. I just want a small bag of chips. And it was going to be dinner. And so, turns out I just needed junk food for a small period of time. And Harlan, I was willing to trade with him. I was willing to put both of them in.
He wanted two bags.
But he is obsessed with two.
Yeah.
He likes two of anything.
He will watch our TV and the Amazon Echo show at the same time.
And if he could have like two suckers, two whatever, like that is one of his.
So anyway, he's thrashing his body and he throws himself onto our love seat and he hits the arm.
The wooden,
like cracks it. And I thought, well, he's knocked himself out.
Everybody, we all three didn't gasp, but it was like this instant realization that we just watched our son, Charlie's brother, like he just knocked himself out unconscious. Yeah,
and it didn't faze him.
At all. So the other part of Harlan's impulse of pain is that he doesn't feel the pain necessarily. He suddenly becomes incredibly aggressive toward the person closest to him when he gets hurt.
Yeah.
Which was me. But my instinct, because I'm his damn mom, is to rush to him and be like, oh shit, come here, baby, and like hold him.
Yeah.
And Gary like pushes me and we just like they're like seeing he's so big, but he's still your baby, like crying to this point that I think he's going to puke. And then I'm like, is he puking because he's crying too hard or because he's concussed?
And then like it's healed. I don't know if you noticed, like
it just became like a carpet burn. Like I thought for sure.
Oh, he's like, going to have a big pump. And then today he has, and I love this, he wants to hang out with me down here in the basement. And so today I set him up. We have a table that we're going to swap out podcast tables, but I had a table set up. He had snacks. He was chilling, and he was wandering around.
There's like old toys down here that I've
not. He gets a little cut on his leg.
It's a good little stab. I'm curious as to what did it, but.
And he said, and he comes to me and says, "Dad, look, red paint. And it's blood." And I'm like, "Oh." And he goes, "There's no tears. There's no crying." He goes upstairs, and I'm like, "Let's clean that off." No, first of all, he wants to show Abby like some badge of honor.
So,
but she walks in and we're having just a complete,
because you were trying to clean it and he didn't want to clean it.
Yeah, he did. He won. And then when he got in the shower and he's like, "Oh no, my leg." Yeah. I was like, "Yeah, that dried blood's got
to
come off there."
We had to like take the, like there was a whole period of like 10 minutes where he would kind of cry because Gary, he did not want anything to do with Gary when I got home.
No.
To wipe his leg off. But then he also kind of cried saying it hurt. It was such a weird time. Yeah. So the hardest thing for me is I cannot do the traditional nurturing holding of my kid when he's seemingly in pain. We just have to sit and like wait it out, and it was super scary. I think at some point Friday night, every single person in the house left the room to cry because you can't cry in front of him. Also, he does not like if you cry at all. It was just, it's learning him and his quirks is very difficult, but I swear to God, these really hard days and hard nights come on the coattails of him doing something amazing and positive.
Yeah. Like,
I almost don't say anything anymore because I think the head thrashing came about 15 seconds after I had sent Gary an old memory of.
He could barely say his name.
There was a time period where I was like, the hardest thing is like people walking up to him and saying, "What's your name?"
Mm-hmm.
And he looks like he should be able to tell his name and he couldn't. And I was certain he would never not only say his name, he would never say my name. And then was it last year or 2 years ago that he started saying his name?
It was 2 years ago that he said it for like
he would say Harwin. He could say his name, and then he was saying it so plain, Harwin Thomas. And then, and, you know, now he can tell you his birthday and
address.
He'll call me Mommy Thomas and Daddy Thomas. And
yeah, when he's mad at us,
yes,
when he's mad at us, we're Mommy and Daddy Thomas.
Mommy Thomas. So I kind of sent that to Gary as like, oh my gosh, just as a reminder of like, you really do. And the other thing that I was worried about this time last year was, I swear to God, he would never be potty trained ever.
Oh, he is.
And now, as long as he has his pooping phone.
I'll leave you with this image as you go into the week. Our little son going to preschool runs. When I say runs, sprints to get inside. I don't know if that'll keep up.
It's been a great week so far.
It's been, a great 2 weeks. He'll go to the window to look at all the kids first, and then he runs inside.
I could cry.
And doesn't even care that I'm there. Would do it without me. And I don't. And we get some videos of him in. I mean, he runs the school.
I think so. I think he's doing good. But
I mean, that's the Thomas gene. I mean, we are pretty dominant, whatever we do. But if this podcast brought you any value, tell somebody. That's how podcasts get. Like, hey, have you listened to Abby and Gary's podcast? Also, I'm not going to say he let me down, but Matt Chandler and his wife did not go to Monell's. They went and ate Mexican. I don't know if they know this, but where they live, probably 13 Mexican restaurants around them. You can eat Mexican anywhere. I'm not judging you, Matt. When you do, when you go back to Nashville and you go to Monell's, you'll be like, damn, I should have.
Every single time, eat the Monell's.
But I can understand they were going to get in the game and have a good time. So
yeah, you gotta be in your stretchy pants and in a place to take a solid nap after.
That's why Monell's. I don't even know if I want to go when we go back.
I don't think you can.
Yeah, I mean I can, but it's gonna be.
It would not be good. It'd be sad.
Like I was just watching. I never got into this before, but competitive eaters. So I follow this guy who, I just started my training for the 2023 season. He would drink a gallon of water and eat 3 Subway footlongs and try to do it in under 20 or 30 minutes.
And that's the image we want to leave you with for the week, is a distended stomach.
Just big old gut.
God, I'd love a loaf of Subway. No.
Oh, a Subway cookie would just hit the spot.
I don't like Subway. And.
True.
I stand by this. And finally, our daughter, who has some weird obsession with Subway, got a sandwich the other day, and it sucked. And she was like, you know what? I think you're right. And I was like, I told you. Told you it sucked.
We asked you to leave a review last week. We got a review from our man, Ben Miller. Shout out, Ben Miller.
Oh, hi, Ben.
Love Ben Miller. He says, I like the content, very entertaining and relatable parenting advice. We have a daughter close to the same age. Keep it up. God bless you, Ben.
Blessings, man.
Because girls of that age need institutionalized. Prison would do them well. Military school, possibly. But they should not be free to roam on their own. But our daughter did come in third in her mock trial.
That's not third.
She was the third. She was the third
best
witness.
Her team was third. She was in the top 3 witness. Listen, we have no idea what happens at mock trial. Our daughter's a mock trial member.
She's a witness. It's like basically like a play.
No, it's not. I don't think you can say that.
I just said it. Prove me wrong. All right. How about this? We want to do a real mock trial? I'll tell you the scenario when we get there. We ain't going to practice it before we go. See how good a lawyer you are when we get there.
I think there's some like learning to, like there's some improv to it.
Well, they definitely are not real attorneys. But
14.
We are on TikTok, Close Enough Pod. You can find us on Instagram, Close Enough Pod.
Share TikToks with me. I love TikToks.
Yep. And enjoy yourself this week. We've booked a room in Louisville under the guise of going to the mock trial regionals.
Will we go?
Who's to say?
Now.
Also, Bourbon Con is next weekend.
Bourbon Con.
I did the same thing. If you don't know, that's Villain Con.
Villain Con.
And we're looking at maybe going to Universal Studios this summer when the new Villain Con and Minions area opens up, Illumination Boulevard.
Gary is now on this ploy to just, he's using our son to get me into the theme park world. Because he's showing our son, you're indoctrinating our baby and showing him Disney
You may show
world.
Your kids the news and try to keep them up to date. I'm down for keeping them entertained.
They've watched Slinky Dog roller coasters today. And
mm-hmm.
He gets him on the Jurassic Park stuff from Universal.
Listen, at some point,
you're brainwashing that baby.
If he didn't enjoy it, I would. Oh. Because listen, I would have no shame in going by myself. None.
That's true.
Where are you going? I'm just going to Orlando. Like, to be fair, I looked up buying myself a season pass.
Are you serious?
Do I look like I would lie about this?
So odd. You would just go by yourself. You'd leave your family.
I may have a conference in Orlando around my birthday. And we may go to Orlando once, maybe twice this year. I call it value. You call it what you want. Obsession, passion. I call it value.
I don't know if I can do Orlando twice.
What do you guys value? Send us a message on Facebook.
I just want to sleep.
Tell a friend about us. Know that we love you. We appreciate all the support. Everybody that tunes in each and every week.
Thank you so much.
Abigail, I love you.
I love you.
Until next week. Goodbye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Close Enough.
Leave us a like on our Facebook page and follow us on Instagram at Close Enough Pod.
Consider giving us a share and review on whatever platform you found us on.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.